May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Does the Holy Trinity matter? I mean, do you think about the Trinity in your everyday life very often? When you pray in your personal prayers, do you always address God as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Do you spend time thinking about these three persons of God, their three functions, and how somehow they are still all simultaneously one? Yeah, me neither. Did you know that Saint Nicholas once slapped a man in the face? Saint Nicholas, that's right, jolly old Saint Nicholas that we often think of around Christmas time. Saint Nicholas slapped someone in the face, and it was in the middle of a theological council. This was back before he was a saint, back when he was just a bishop in the Christian church, but he slapped this man over the Holy Trinity. Nicholas and other theologians of his day saw the triune nature of God as a doctrine that was imperative, important, necessary to the Christian faith. For Nicholas, make no mistake, the Holy Trinity mattered. It mattered enough to get up in the middle of a professional conference and assault someone. It mattered enough to spend the night in jail. What would it look like if the Holy Trinity mattered to us like that? Now, I hope we wouldn't go around slapping folks in the face. Actually, I think St. Nicholas was pretty embarrassed about that whole incident after he cooled down. But what would it look like if the Holy Trinity really, actually mattered to us? The Holy Trinity is a complicated theological concept, of course. It's using imperfect human language to describe what is, in fact, to us a mystery. That's why they had to have theological councils to debate it. That's why we recite our creeds about it today. And I believe that's why we don't tend to think about it too much in our daily lives. There's just enough else to think about most of the time. The Holy Trinity is complicated because, well, because it's a relationship. And most relationships are pretty complicated, right? They change, they grow, they evolve, they grow apart. Relationships, at least the good ones, take work and commitment and tough compromise. Relationships don't often exist in the black or white, right or wrong sort of realm. In relationships, people make mistakes and are forgiven. In relationships, people mess up and vow to do better next time. In relationships, people do better next time, but new challenges always arise. Relationships are much more like a journey than a destination. To have a relationship with someone is to do a sort of dance with them. To say that our God is Trinity, three persons, is to say that our God is inherently in relationship. In relationship, even within God's self. Our scripture for today gives us a wide view of who God is. But I think that each of these readings reveals something about the relational nature of God. And if we are God's people, then we must be people of relationship too. In our first reading, we saw this grand vision of the prophet Isaiah, a vision that I believe we read today because it's supposed to evoke images of that first person of the Trinity, God the Father. Isaiah has this grand vision because he, as God's prophet, has a very intimate relationship with God. Isaiah is God's spokesman, God's trusted truth teller, God's very voice for the people of Israel. And so God allows Isaiah to have this very intimate vision of just what it means to be God Almighty, God the Father. In the second reading, we heard from Paul's letter to the Romans, and Paul writes about the role of the Holy Spirit, guiding God's people and adopting us, making us children of God. Children that can cry out, Abba or Papa, Dad. People that have a relationship with Almighty God that is as close as our relationships with our own family. That are as close as a child to a parent that they're dependent upon. In the gospel, Nicodemus comes to Jesus to consult him as a teacher and as one who comes from God. Nicodemus hasn't quite gotten to the point where he can use the language of Jesus as God's son, but he knows that Jesus has a deep connection to the Lord. He sees and is awed by Jesus' relationship to God. Jesus enters into conversation, into relationship with this Jewish leader who was either too afraid or too intimidated or too skeptical to approach Jesus in the light of day, who had to come to him under cover of night. Jesus doesn't hesitate to meet his questions and to take Nicodemus as he is. Jesus becomes for Nicodemus and for all of us the incarnate, personified, tangible God. So what would it look like if the Holy Trinity mattered to us? What would it look like if these relationships, this relational God, mattered to us? What would it look like if our relationship to these three persons of God mattered? Or what would it look like if we lived as people of the triune God? I'm not sure that it would mean more theological councils debating the nature of the Trinity. I'm not sure that it would mean just reciting the creeds weekly in worship or even daily in personal prayer. I'm not sure it would mean keeping an eye out for those pesky heretics like St. Nicholas did. I think it would mean more relationship. More relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with one another. And I think the two are connected. There are many, many ways for us to grow in our relationship with God. Spending time in prayer, spending time in silence, listening for that mighty voice of God described in our psalm, reading God's word in scripture, asking for and receiving God's forgiveness, acknowledging God's presence with us in the challenges and journey and dance of life. But I think that the way we really expand our relationship with God, I think the way we really show that our relationship to this triune God matters is by expanding our relationships with one another. Throughout his time teaching and preaching and being the presence of God on earth, Jesus makes clear to disciples like Nicodemus that the people he leaves behind are the presence of God. That God's Holy Spirit dwells within us now. That we encounter Jesus himself, nothing less, when we meet those who are hungry and thirsty, who are strangers and foreigners, who are imprisoned. That the church on earth is Christ's very own body, until that day when Christ returns again. Our relationships with one another matter. They matter because we are the people of the God of relationship. And they matter because our relationships with one another, they are our relationship to God. How we treat one another is how we treat God. Our relationships with one another cannot be separated from our relationship to God. If our triune relational God really matters to us, then we will live in relationship with one another. This is why it matters that in this upcoming month of June, we will explore what it means to better relate to our lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender neighbors. Many of those folks have had the possibility of relationship with a church family cut off from them entirely. Many have experienced judgment and persecution and even abuse in the name of our God. Making an effort at relationship with these neighbors matters because our relationship with them is a part of our relationship with God. This is why it matters how we speak about immigrants and refugees, that we recognize all people, regardless of where they've come from or how they've become our neighbors, as human beings, worthy of dignity and respect and care, as precious to us as our own beloved family members, as not a pawn to be used in political speeches or policies, but as human beings just like our Lord Jesus was. It matters that we listen to and pray for and care about immigrants and refugees because being in relationship with them is being in relationship with Jesus. He tells us that. This is why it matters that we spend time with one another, genuine time. This is why it matters that we live in a constant state of forgiveness and non-judgment, striving to always give one another the benefit of the doubt. This is why it matters that we set boundaries with one another that promote mutual respect. This is why we face challenges together, not on our own, not independently, not toughing it out, not closing ourselves off, but facing them side by side, hand in hand, as we relate to one another and to God. This is why it matters that we take this journey together, that we do this dance of life together, because to dance with one another is to dance with God. So how might the Holy Trinity matter to you this week? In just a few minutes, you're going to stand up and profess that it matters in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as we do each Sunday. But how might you live in a way that shows that this actually matters to you this week? How might you more fully embrace your relationship with the triune God by embracing one another? How might you more fully examine this mysterious God of ours by embracing someone new? May this Holy Trinity Sunday be an invitation to all of us to embrace our God and one another. Thanks be to God. Amen.